Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Eric Wood's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Jim Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. And by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Eric Wood joining us now on the Wester Hotline. Eric, how are you? We have Eric. Eric, you there?
Yes.
Hey, there we
yep.
are. Good. So at the beginning, we're talking about, wow, that Patriot game would be great to talk about all the time here for a long time. But there's another one coming up, and how players talk about how, or even Sean McDermott, right, Eric? Like, we take a day, enjoy it, reflect on it, and then we'll get to work on the next opponent. I know with you, I definitely don't want to run away from that Patriot game because that would mean not being able to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick in the crowd shirtless. I definitely don't want to just move too fast into round two here.
Yeah, well, let's not move on from that too much. Yeah, so I got an alert early in the week last week that Fitz was coming in for the game. I didn't really want to tell anybody just because I didn't want to blow his cover in case he was trying to come in like really under the radar. And I even asked him, I said, hey, do you want to go to a suite? I can connect you with some buddies in town in Buffalo, or you could even sit in the back of the broadcast booth with your son, and literally nobody would bug you then. And he was like, no, we're good. I'm going to go with some old neighbors and their sons and, you know, just kind of take it in. And I'm like, well, you can have my ticket. So they sit in the club, and so he comes over to the booth about midway through the game, says hi and all that, and then – all of a sudden, I see some pictures surfacing. And, well, I'll say this. He texted me a picture with his shirt off first, and then I see it all over the internet, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, you didn't come in halfway. And, I mean, the best part about it is the fact that, and it's hard to associate him being Washington's quarterback this year because he only played
right.
less than a half for them. But he's under contract with another NFL team. Like, that is incredible. And then probably my favorite thing he's ever said in an interview, I don't want to say that too conclusively, but yep. one of my favorite things is when he was the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins and said that the Bills had the best fan base. So obviously he has an affinity for Buffalo.
That was my wife's question, by the way, Bulldog. Her question was, isn't he on another team? Isn't he still playing?
right.
And like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that clip of him talking about the fans here when he was in Miami, I think, was from an Adam Schefter podcast, maybe, and that made the rounds late in the week or maybe on the weekend. So that was there. What I love about him and the way that he was a part of Saturday night, Eric, is that he must know by now that he does not need to keep demonstrating how much he loves us, like the Bills, the energy, the stadium, the fans, the whole thing. So, like, some people might be skeptical of an athlete trying too hard to be one of the regular people, right? This is so genuine because he doesn't need to do it. He doesn't need to work to impress anyone anymore from Buffalo. We love him. We are going to love him forever. It will never, ever end. And there he is with no shirt on. Like, he's got nothing to prove. You're not getting more bank with us. You already have all the bank you could possibly have. He just has to do it because that's who he is, and that's beautiful.
Right. And Fitz doesn't even have social media. So it's not like this big social media stunt where he rolled in with a film crew. He doesn't even have social media. So it was more about letting his son Tate come back and experience a big-time Bills game. And it's just special. Really cool. Yeah.
He is social media. Like, some people sort of ascend to a point where, like, if they're out there, they're being photographed, and they become social media. Well,
I will say this. He does not have social media, but I know that he has access, and I don't know if it's his wife or what, but he does have access to stuff because he will constantly rib me about things that I've either posted on Twitter or Instagram. And so I know he has access to it. He just does not ever post. And he does not have an official handle or whatever you want to call it.
Be very suspicious of people who tell you they do not have these accounts. Eric, we like our current quarterback too. So do you think you know how to sort of describe or explain what happened Saturday night? It was a challenge for us. You start to hear, oh, no NFL game ever has been like this. No third and five or field goal attempt or punt or turnover. Do you think you can adequately describe what the Bills just did?
I mean, I could come on to your full show today, but no, it'd be tough to do it in a 20-minute segment and understanding that we are going to move on to the Chiefs as well. But, I mean, when you consider the fact that all week people talk about, here's a new stat about how bad Josh Allen is in the cold, and this Patriots defense is number two in the NFL, and Bill Belichick has all this playoff experience, and the Bills don't, and add everything onto it, and that just makes the performance even sweeter. But, you know, Josh has shown growth in each of his years with playoff appearances these last 3 years. Now, would you assume that they would have that type of a performance on Saturday night? No, but what a performance it was.
Did you have any inkling, like, how historic it might end up being? Like, were you, as you were watching it, sort of processing? I mean, you might know they haven't punted, right? But the no fourth down thing, I even thought at one point on the postgame show that they had run a quarterback sneak on a fourth and one, and it turns out it was a third and one. Like, did you have an inkling that it was, like, an all-time great performance at some point during the game?
No, and maybe it was because most of the drives were, I don't want to say methodical, but they were just kind of chunk play after chunk play. It wasn't just maybe bomb down the field after bomb down the field. So, no, it was hard to, understand how historic of a night it was in that moment. Now, at one point, CBS flashed a graphic. We could see it on our monitor in our booth, talking about how the Bills hadn't punted against the Patriots in 8 quarters. And so that was kind of leading me on to think, okay, there's probably more to this. But in the moment, as you're trying to dissect plays and you're thinking on your toes and you're trying to make a lot of sense of the game, I truly didn't understand how historic it was. But I do chart all the drives. So every drive, I write down – at the end of the drive, I'll write down some notes that I can always reference back to it. I can always say, hey, so-and-so had this many three and outs, or, okay, that was a three and out. Oh, those both led to touchdowns, whatever it may be. And I've obviously never had a chart sheet like I had the other night where it was just simply TD, 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 TD.
Eric Wood on the Western Hotline. Eric, this might be an easy question for you or not. I don't know, but I don't know how to answer it myself. How did they do it? Like, New England was excellent on defense. The second game was more successful for the Bills by a lot. So maybe we should start there. I don't know. I mean, I know they had 11 guys out on the field, but there was no resistance ever.
Yeah, so the short answer would be game planning and execution. I thought the game planning was excellent from Brian Daboll. The amount of personnel groupings that they utilized throughout that game and intentionally using them, the way that they attacked certain personnel matchups for the Patriots, the way they used motion to dissect coverages and then run plays that would be perfect against them. The game planning was obviously top-notch for this one. It was just so multiple. I mean, you know, what gets lost in it, you know, you get three Isaiah McKenzie runs for 29 yards in that game. There's just a variety of run plays with Devin Singletary, a few designed quarterback runs early in the game. I believe the first two third downs in the game. So New England's got a top five third down defense in the NFL. The first two third downs of the game for the Bills are both designed quarterback runs for first downs. You know, where everyone's thinking they're going to take these shots, he goes and makes them with his legs. And so there was just a lot to it. And then obviously the game plan, it could be as great as you want, but if you don't go out and execute, then you don't have a performance like that. And so it all came together for the Bills the other night.
So what is the genius behind using – I read that all five – the five main receivers were used in such different ways in this game, like different personnel groupings were a big facet of this game, Eric. And is that the kind of thing that, like, because – when a defense is studying you, they see certain personnel groupings and they like to do this sort of thing off of this grouping and that sort of thing off that grouping. And when you suddenly come at an opponent with different groupings, is that just another thing that throws them off kind of?
Yeah, you're spot on. And it's just a lot more to prepare for. And it's just amazing. And I was talking to Brandon Bean before the game. We were discussing the wide receivers who were standing right on the field right next to where the receivers were warming up. And I said, man, you did a good job with that room, referencing the wide receiver meeting room and who's all in it. And he said, oh yeah, they're unbelievable. But there's a lot of variety to them as well. And it becomes really difficult when one play you have Stephon Diggs lined up over you, who, you know, top five receiver in the NFL likely. Then you get a Gabe Davis who's 6'3", 215. Then you get a straight burner like Emmanuel Sanders. You combine that with the fact that, and I said they attack some matchups. I mean, poor number 33, the corner for the Patriots, Jawan Williams. I mean, they just attacked him over and over throughout that game. And the one Emmanuel Sanders touchdown, he just literally ran right past him. But when you consider you can mix up all those personnel groupings, and then you add in the fact that they use more Reggie Gilliam and Tommy Doyle on the field at the same time. And it just becomes a lot to prepare for.
Believe that player Williams, that was his last play in the game. The Sanders touchdown, he was benched after that. That was enough. Belichick had seen enough. Well, we might end up, we probably will, for as long as the three of us are talking together, refer to this game Saturday night many times. Maybe regardless of what happens this weekend. But, Eric, come on. Like, this is massive, too. Not only just for the stakes themselves, but Kansas City again. Bulldog asked you last week, smartly, like, what's left to change up in this matchup? And here's the same thing I think applies. I mean, they played Kansas City twice in less than a year going into this game. So, what do you think about the matchup? And what might, if you're thinking of something that might be useful or, you know, successful that's been different, we'd love to know.
Well, I'll say this. You know, I think most would agree that these are the two best teams in the AFC. Both teams didn't take care of business at some point during the season to not get the number one overall seed, and this game's now being played in the divisional round and not the AFC championship game, like it feels like it should be. But that being said, you know, the Bills win by 18 points in Kansas City this year, and everybody had so much optimism around the Bills at the time. That catapulted them to the odds-on betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. And so kind of a roller coaster ride to the point now where both teams are peaking again. And it's just interesting to me that you have a Bills team that, in my opinion, was built to play against this Chiefs team. And the last, you know, when you look at who eliminated them last year and what happened and why you bring in certain players and why you run a certain offense and all the personnel, you're built to play against this team, and now you need to go out and execute. The interesting thing to me, two key players. Now, there's been a lot that has changed. People have gotten better. People are playing a lot better at the time. But at the time we played Kansas City earlier in the season, Chris Jones, their best defensive player, was out of the game, and Tre'Davious White will now be out for the Bills, maybe the Bills' best defensive player. And so that's somewhat interesting of note. But you could play that game with a number of guys on each team.
Right. Jones not only didn't play, but he hadn't even moved inside yet, I don't think, because when he came back from injury is when they put him in there, and I think most people paying attention to the Chiefs point to that as being a really pivotal change for them.
Which, did he ever admit that that was basically so that he could be listed as a defensive end, because ultimately that makes you a lot more money? Like that seemed painfully obvious to me, right?
Look, I mean, you were on the team when the first play of the season, Tyrod Taylor's at wide receiver and Matt Cassel's out there. You probably could have gotten a snap behind center at some point and maybe made that more lucrative for yourself. I'm a quarterback too, that sort of thing, obviously. No? Never crossed your mind? Did you ever lobby for it?
No, but I will say this, and I'll reference it back to the Patriots game and Tommy Doyle scoring that touchdown. The one bad thing about playing center is that you never really get the opportunity to score that big man touchdown, or else it becomes painfully obvious that we just moved our center to tight end or to the end of the line of scrimmage uncovered. And so I never would have ever had the opportunity to do that. Also, unless you're truly blowing a team out, one of the hardest snaps in football is on the goal line where they're lined up right over the top of your face, so they would never want to mix up the center quarterback combination for that play.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Well, I mean, it's just the best. This is just the best going in there. I mean, these Bills have to be just so excited and confident, right? I mean, they have the win in the regular season. Without that, maybe there's a different vibe here this week. You know, can they beat them? That question's been answered.
You're right. And I was excited to figure out what the point spread was going to be. I'm not going to lie, I went to bed early last night. I didn't get much sleep after the game Saturday. So I went to bed whenever it started to get out of hand last night. And so waking up this morning, one of the first things I did was just check the point spread, just to see what, because I know what my opinion on the game is. I thought it should be right around a pick'em. You know, you assume that a team gets 3 points for being at home, and the line I saw was 2.5. So kind of right where I thought it would be. I didn't want to get on this morning and have it be an 8 or 9 point spread with the Bills as an underdog, just because my opinion of the Bills is so strong, but I also have an extreme bias at times, so I understand that.
Yes, I mean, the spreads, it's kind of a new world here in New York, Eric, since last weekend.
You're right. And, I've been informed that as a league employee, I cannot make picks based upon spreads, and I need to be really careful.
Yes.
Just because I was doing like check-ins before the game on my Instagram walking in the stadium, and now I'm very generic with like the Bills by a billion. I'm never saying like, hey, I think the Bills are going to win by about 11 points today, this and that.
You know, super slippery slope, and it's almost not even fair. The point spread, you just gave us an example. I do it almost every day. Like, it's good information. Why not bail on the Bills after they lose to Jacksonville and get run over by Indianapolis? Because Vegas says you shouldn't. Boom, done. Next question. So it's good information. And you have that plus, now that this has shifted in New York State, Eric, you know this, like, ads are all over the games. Ads are all over the stadiums. Chris Brown's doing FanDuel ads. You know, like, oh, here's the FanDuel is the official Bills this, but Caesars is the official Bills that. Like, you know, okay. Yeah, I bet there's a very serious intent behind this rule, and I appreciate and respect the way you sort of sound about it. But damn, like, it's just going to be all everywhere around you. You know, people in the booth at your games, you know, who might be betting on the game on a given play because it's that easy to do. Anyway, which is not to say you would be tempted or anything like that. It's just sort of, wow, okay, I gotta stay here with all of this happening around me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this is something that's going to this will all be kind of vetted out over this next year or so as it becomes legal in more and more states. But in my opinion, if you're in production meetings where you get the behind the scenes with the coaches and players, and maybe you hear about an injury early, you should absolutely never be able to talk about a spread. In my opinion, if you're not in a production meeting, what information does someone like me have than anybody else?
Yeah, this is dangerous. Because if person A is in the meeting and person B has it on their phone, like they could easily communicate. I mean, that's right. But that is absolutely right. This is going to be the real test here for sports. I mean, as this becomes just so easy everywhere.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it could be great for sports, especially when you consider, you know, in Buffalo, you know, people are still flooding the stadium, but I know there's been attendance issues at a lot of places. If you can do some things with live betting and if you can create some more excitement around the games and give people more of a reason to attend and not sit at home and watch the red zone where they can watch their whole fantasy team, which I know appeals to you, then you need to do anything you can.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think I should need to clarify this, but I'm not at all being critical of Chris, by the way, for having that. I just mean, like, you know, he's with the team. So I'm just, there are different you know, appearances, situations where, like, you know, that came up because of your situation where you might go, well, why not me? But you're not saying that. And so
no,
I just wanted to make that clear.
I did Vandal ads the last 2 weeks as well.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Very good.
Well, there you go. Of course. All right.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Any questions for us?
Nope. Just glad you guys got another fun week, and it's not either breaking down other matchups or draft talk. Let's keep it rolling.
Indeed, man. We hope so. Talk to you next week, bud.
Yep. Sounds good. See you guys.
There's Eric Wood on our Westerner Hotline, and his appearances are brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
I'm kind of, I don't know, you and I haven't really talked about it, but I'm kind of thinking that we're all going to be endorsing one of these guys or another.
That's the impression I'm under, yes.
You know? So.
Yes. I got notified Saturday morning very early that was going to be happening at some point real soon, and so I went to FanDuel and got busy. Saturday, that was on that. I think I said when Joe Ostrowski was on with us on Thursday, you would like alluded to how like I haven't dived in yet, and I said I'm sort of waiting to be told who to go to,
right,
and I got that message like, okay, all right, I'm in. Let's go.
The incredible win Saturday night, and now the massive game with Kansas City. Would love to talk to fans throughout the day. 803-0550 is how to reach us by phone. Sal Capaccio late in the day. Also, Paul Hamilton with his thoughts on today's Sabres game. The Sabres lose in overtime to Detroit. Joe will have more in the update. Lines are open now. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The guy tried to tell you the numbers and nobody wants to address it. 41-57 before Brady got here. He started 5-13 here. He's got Steve Belichick coaching the defense with no credentials. You think the veterans are looking up to that guy? Bill Belichick in 8 full seasons, guys. It's not a small sample set. It's 130 games. He's missed the playoffs 6 times. The 2 times he's made it, he's been one and done.
That was me, by the way. I just had nothing to do this morning, or whenever that was.
Yep.
And so I decided to put on an accent like my cousins who live outside of Boston and call radio shows.
Yep. Well, he's done, that Belichick. It's over.
Odds that that's right? I mean, like that he would retire. Is anybody saying that?
He even was asked about coming back in 2022, and he said, I think this was Saturday night, that that's accurate, that he'd be back. So I don't think there's, you know, it doesn't seem like he's at least not off that game thinking about it. But, you know, maybe a few days go by. Who knows? But I would think he'll be back.
There is
if he was going to keep going after Brady left and, like, have the down year and then get back to the playoffs, I don't think he's going to pitch it now. I think he'll keep going.
There is a report that Brady will be retiring. Report. Let me be careful. Seth Wickersham, who has written a lot on New England, and he was on our show once to promote a book on Brady and Belichick. I read that he said he thinks he'll retire, or that someone close to him thinks he'll retire. I mean, that might be barely anything. I don't know, but I know I saw that a couple of days ago.
Well, I mean, that's the most I've ever seen anywhere on will Brady retire, other than just speculating, oh, this could be it because he wants to go out on top.
That's right. This is a guy who, I mean, he's connected. So maybe he's going to retire someday.
Oh, I was thinking dynasty trades.
I think I'm inclined to still believe that that will happen someday.
Are you?
Yeah, I haven't given
up. That he'll retire?
Yeah, that he will retire at some point.
If he does, then does Belichick necessarily wait at least 1 year so as not to retire it in the same year?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Or would Belichick retire first and then Brady would retire the next day?
I'm ahead. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm here for.
I'm going to swallow whole all the attention that you were about to get on your
that
retirement
too.
Party.
That
here's,
too.
Here's my retirement.
That too. So I want a couple of things from the world of Twitter. Yesterday, I just had a certain thought, like early in the afternoon maybe, and tweeted it. And then, you know, like often happens, or to me at least, as I get older, you tweet it, and then your first thought is, uh-oh, did I say this wrong? Am I going to have, is this going to be a problem? Did I do something here? So it was that I would put Saturday's game ahead of the comeback game in Bills history. Like, in maybe any sort of context. The comeback game, and I'm sort of being funny when I say this, but like half of it was really terrible.
Right.
So this is a perfect performance against the Patriots when it mattered so much. Like that, it's got to be considered. So I thought, well, I had that thing I said. I'm like, uh-oh.
I saw you tweet that, and I didn't spend much time thinking about it, but I certainly thought it was far from outrageous or anything.
Yes, I would have said that too. Yeah. But when I look back at it, like everybody agreed with it. Almost.
Oh.
Like everybody agreed with it. Yes, it's above the comeback game. It's not above 51-3. I got some of that too. But it does outrank that game, which is like, I don't know, is that surprising or not? It's not, in that it's more recent. So
right.
I mean, not a lot of people on Twitter, maybe, I don't know, some good percentage won't even remember that game. It's too long ago. So maybe that makes it not surprising, but the way Buffalo just glorifies that game and that those teams, and has done that just forever, to sometimes, all right, enough. I mean, they didn't actually win it, you know. Just for me anyway, that it's like, that's why I had that first reaction, which is you can't say that.
Right.
You know, I said it like, oh, no, wait, maybe you can't say that.
It turns out you can, and not only can you, it wasn't really that controversial at all, you found out, maybe?
I guess. Yeah.
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 I think recency bias is a real thing, you know. And you are talking about a game that was in January of 1993. So, you know, who's on Twitter? All that stuff sort of is baked into that. But I, you know, like I said, I saw it and I didn't think, oh, come on. And I certainly remember how I felt for that game. I mean, it was magic. I think Saturday is certainly in that. It's certainly in that class. I mean, it's a playoff game, and you got to factor in, I think, like for like how special it is or how special it was, the fact that, you know, last year came and went with a total of what, 12,000 people being at the two playoff games. Or somewhere in that range, right? 6,500 maybe at each one, or some number like that. And so, you know, last year, like an undercurrent of the whole year was, here's this season for the ages we're living through, and we all might as well have moved to North Carolina because we can't go anyway. So we're not experiencing it. Like, we're experiencing it exactly like, you know, your son or daughter who moved away after college to go get a better job in a more lucrative marketplace was experiencing it. And so now that's, you know, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, but at least we can go to these games now and people are vaccinated. And so you've got a packed house. It's freezing. It's Belichick. It's the Patriots. And, you know, we're all there for it. And it go, you get that. You don't just get like 13-10 because it's so cold, but boy, I'm glad we won. I mean, you got it all. You got the full Josh Allen experience. The defense made their plays. Micah Hyde. I mean, you just got all of it.
That's
right. And I mean, that alone has to have it, like, way up the rankings for memorable. I think you're right to say, like, we'll be talking about this game for decades, probably. Like, it's enhanced if they go on and win the whole thing. Because it's the first step in the playoffs toward doing that, and so everything becomes magnified then. But even if it goes the way it's always gone in the past, which is falling short in some way, shape, or form, even if it's in the actual Super Bowl, I still think that game is going. It's on the list, man, and it might be. Well, I mean, again, I'm not sure I want to rank it ahead of the comeback game, but I don't think it's ridiculous to consider it.
Yeah, the comeback game is very much, I would say, boosted by the fact that while they didn't win the Super Bowl, they did get there. They did win the next 2 weeks. Like, if they'd lost the next game, it's sort of more of like a fluke in history. Just like, oh, there was this one game. Like, other games that are not that, or they're not the Patriots-Falcons game, have great comebacks, but they don't come to mind because you don't remember that the stakes are the same or the team or something. So that is, I think, in play here. But the four in a row includes, I mean, people use the comeback game to best show, like, what that,
right,
what they say, you know, the sort of the narrative stuff, like what the team was made of.
The resiliency and all,
yeah,
that. Yeah.
Like, right, in this one game when they didn't have Jim Kelly, they were down 35-3 and they won anyway. So it will help if they beat Kansas City. It won't be just an afterthought, but something about what happens next, I think, matters to it. Mm-hmm. Here is Andy with us. Hi, Andy.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, first time caller. Hey, I equate the game Saturday night. I was there with my two of my older sons. We had a great night. But I equate this to Game 7 of the 2004 ALCS. This was similar to the Red Sox. This was the final nail in the coffin against a longtime nemesis that now will no longer, you know, Belichick will no longer be the nemesis. No longer are we going to have that anxiety of, you know, playing the Patriots. This was on a big stage, a winner-take-all game. And similar to the Red Sox-Yankees, the Yankees are no longer the big bad Yankees to Red Sox and Red Sox fans anymore. And the Patriots are no longer going to be the big bad Patriots, big bad Bill Belichick to the Bills fans. So to me, this ranks up. We're going to look at back. This is a turning point in Bills history after, you know, 20 years of dominance by the Patriots.
I like that very much. I like that comparison very, yeah, much.
All right. I dearly hope that it goes that way. I think at the very least for the time being, and by that I mean, you know, once we get past however this ends in a few weeks, hopefully, you know, not sooner than that, I mean, than into February, you know, when next year comes around, I don't think anyone should take for granted you're just going to handle the Patriots, but I think it's right to say that the intimidation factor, if it didn't die, it took a very significant hit. Like they're just another team that could beat you, right? I mean, you got to know anybody can beat you. Jacksonville beat the Bills this year, so it can happen. And I'm not saying the Patriots are now Jacksonville either by saying this, but what I'm saying is that they're not. I think it'll sound different. And it'll feel different because you finally you walked through the fire. You know, it as it turned out, you needed this game in a playoff spot, and you emphatically put them down. And I just think it's natural to not have that be in your head as much anymore after that.
Makes sense,
and that's fine. Like I'm not here to, oh, don't count your chickens, right? Whatever. They're another team. Like I said, anybody can beat you, but the idea that this guy has some hold over us and over the team and over their quarterback and is just like, forget it. He needs a tornado to handle Josh Allen. That's it. He's got no answers.
For more of your calls coming up towards 7-803-0550. Buffalo Bills football Monday, looking back at Saturday night, which was incredible, and ahead to Kansas City. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, we're happy with the quarterback we have, and I'm sure they're happy with Pat there, and I think it's worked out for both, and able to get a player like Trey as well, and amongst others. So, good deal for us, and that's where we're at.
Sean McDermott today. Sal Capaccio will join us at 6 Eastern to talk about some of his comments, injury updates, and, of course, Saturday night. We'll look for your calls, too. 803-0550, one of the greatest nights in Bills history. Easily that, if not the greatest for any fan younger than 40? I don't know. Like, how far back do you have to go? I mean, really just goes without saying, a super special night. So that's coming up. We'll do that at the top of the hour, The Sabres lost in overtime to Detroit at home today. They play in Ottawa tomorrow night. Two funny little things right here. One, so I did a Mad Dog, right?
Teddy Hendricks!
Right? Mad Dog?
Mad Dog 2020 or Mad Dog the radio guy? Mad Dog the cheap...
Pavel Jack!
This guy, you're not talking about alcohol.
He has his own station.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
So I was on his station as a guest the other night and asked I don't remember the question about Buffalo, the weather or something. And the guy, so the host of this show, his name is Chris Plank. I have a friend from when I worked at ESPN that produces this show at Mad Dog Radio. And so he calls me sometimes. And I'm on with this guy, Chris Plank. And I said something and he goes, "Oh, it's funny you say that. My best friend is Jerry Ostrowski." Ostrowski.
Yeah.
Now we have Joe Ostrowski, so I sometimes get them mixed up. Right. My best friend is Jerry Ostrowski. Like, oh, I loved that guy. So did you.
Yeah, great guy.
Super guy. So I thought that was kind of cool. Also, we won't play this out today, probably, but I have us a mystery guest later in the week.
Is it Jerry Ostrowski?
No, it's not Jerry Ostrowski.
Oh, that's such drunk for Mott!
Jerry has been, it's not surprising that someone in media would be, not that that has to be the genesis of their friendship, but he's been working in radio for quite a while, Jerry.
Okay, yeah, Oklahoma. This guy, I think, is out of Oklahoma. So I thought that was kind of funny. I thought of you. And mystery guest on Friday, at some point I'll bug you and Joe to try to figure out who it is.
Ben Davidson!
I don't think it's going to be him.
So far in the last 2 minutes, his name has not been mentioned.
Okay. Skip Thomas!
Skip Thomas! This is a rant about, I think, how nobody's good anymore. All the best sports players have long retired because of their competition. And we're just going to name all the players we remember their names. Right. Just, you know.
Willie Brown!
Skip Thomas. Right. Skip Thomas is why Brady's probably not number one. I'm probably going a little far there, taking out of context.
Teddy Hendricks!
That seems like that was the premise.
The basketball one where he's talking about Havlicek is because of guys like load management.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, load
right?
management.
Like Havlicek ran. That guys need days off. Like, these guys play every night.
Havlicek ran 50 miles a game or something.
Yeah, got off the train, something about that, ran to the game.
In my day. Yeah. It's all in my day genre. The Bills on to Kansas City for round two. We'll get back at it after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. What?
We're on to Kansas City.
Yep. Yes.
Belichick's line. We're on to
Cincinnati.
Kansas City.
On to Cincinnati.
Oh, it's on to Cincinnati. That's where I blew it. Oh, God, I'm such an idiot.
They were in Kansas City.
Why do I still work here? Sometimes I say the dumbest stuff. All right. Sorry.
People love that from us. Dumb stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to make you feel better.
Thank you.
We will talk more about the Bills game last night or Saturday night and then against the Chiefs, of course, here all the time, all week. After the update, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.